This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Ek het die voorreg om die woord van die Here met julle te deel. Maak my opgewonde om dit te doen. Maak my angstig as ek dit in 'n kort tydjie moet doen. So ons wil graag 'n groot gedeelte van die diens is eintlik die praktiese komponent van waaroor ek gaan praat, wat natuurlik die waterdoop is. En ons wil die praktiese, die uitvoering daarvan, wil ons saam beleef en ons wil tyd skep en tyd maak daarvoor. Maar ons gaan kyk na die skrif wat eintlik baie praat oor die doop. Ek dink ons as Christene, oor die algemeen is dit eintlik iets wat nie genoeg oor gepraat word nie. Is die waterdoop is iets wat ons soms nie heeltemal ten volle verstaan nie. En ek glo die Here wil vir ons 'n groter openbaring daarvan gee vanoggend. Alhoewel daar's so baie skrifte wat praat daaroor, is vir my onmoontlik om deur almal te hardloop. So my uitdaging was om sekeres te vat en sekeres te moet los. En maar ek glo dit wat die Here wil hê moet oorkom vandag gaan oorkom. So ek wil gou net bid voordat ons begin en dan gaan ons sommer lekker wegspring. Dink ons fondasie van hierdie huis is die skrif. Dit is vir ons waarop ons lewens bou en dis waarop ons besluite neem. Dis waarop ons keuses maak. Is wat sê die woord van God. So korrekte interpretasie daarvan is natuurlik ook belangrik en ek glo dat die Heilige Gees dit vir ons vanoggend sal doen en oopbreek. Vader, ons sê vir U dankie dat hierdie reeds 'n spesiale oggend was sover. Die grootste een is omdat U is. En dis vir ons kosbaar. As U teenwoordigheid is tyd saam met U, maar ook tyd saam met ons geestelike familie. Waar ons lief is vir mekaar, waar U ons harte aan mekaar bind met U liefde, Here, en ons dit kan uitleef teenoor mekaar en waar die wêreld kan inkyk en kan sien, wow, hierdie liefde is anders. Wat 'n liefde sien hulle hier en dit getuig van U in ons midde. Vader, sal U dit maak groei, Here. Besef ons skiet kort daarin, maar U is die een wat die liefde konstant uitstort in ons harte, Here. Sal U dit vanoggend opnuut kom doen? Sal U dit meer in 'n groter manier en mate kom doen? In Jesus se naam, Here, ek dank U dat U die Gees is van die waarheid, Heilige Gees. En dat U waarheid aan ons openbaar en ons wil net verklaar dat ons het nodig om meer en meer waarheid te hoor, Here, en ons besef U is waarheid, Jesus Christus. U woord is waarheid. So ons vra, kom, breek dit vir ons oop in Jesus se naam. Amen. So ek gaan meeste van dit in Engels deel. En ek het gedink die beste manier om te begin of waar om te begin, is amper soms vir my moeilik, maar hierdie keer dink ek wat ons gaan doen is ons gaan kyk na die woorddoop, net vir 'n kort stukkie, gaan nie baie in detail daarin gaan nie, mens kan baie in detail ingaan, maar ek dink is eenvoudig genoeg. So, wanneer ons in Engels lees en ons sien die woord baptism, dis 'n Griekse woord wat baptizo is, en wat hulle gedoen het, is hulle het nie die woord vertaal nie, hulle het hom basies net oorgeskryf in Engels. So, daar was nie so'n woord, soos baptism nie, daar was nie eintlik 'n Engelse woord vir dit nie, en ons noem dit in Engels hulle transliteration, so is nie getranslate nie, is transliteration, so net direk oorgeskryf. So, daar is verskeie redes hoekom dit so was, moontlik so was, en ek gaan nou nie daar ingaan nie, maar dis baie eenvoudig, dat die woord baptizo, as jy om die Engelse betekenis gaan kyk, is dit to immerse. Onderdompel sal die Afrikaanse weergawe wees. To immerse, to cover completely. So dit is eintlik wat dit moet sê. So as jy baptism lees in die skrif, dan kan jy lees to immerse. Nou daar is verskillende goed waarin daar ge-immerse word. Water is een voorbeeld. Toe daar gepraat word van die doop van Johannes die Doper, is water die element, iets in. waarin gedoop word, maar dit was altyd 'n into ook. So it's John's baptism, for example, was a baptism into repentance. But the baptism was in water. So when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, are baptized into Christ, we are baptized in water, but it's a baptism into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's just the foundation quickly about the word baptizo. And like I said, there's a lot of things to say about that, but I think it's quite clear. If you do a bit of research, it's quite clear to come to that conclusion. Important for you to realize and for me to realize is baptism is a transition from one thing to another. That is a powerful thing for us to realize. It's not just something that we do. It's a transition from one thing to another. And I think many times when I ask people, or when people ask me about baptism, I will say it's a step of obedience, because that is what the Word of God says, that we should be baptized. And that is correct, and that is very important. It is a step of obedience. I think overall, the overarching thing should be that it is obedience to God. That should always be our heart and our position. Even if we do not understand that if God says something, He always leads us to the place to do something that's in our best interest, that is for us. So we can go ahead with that, even if we do not know the full meaning of that. Do you agree with me? So overarching is the principle of we are obeying Christ. But there's much more. And I think we're going to go into that. I'm going to touch on a few of that. So a lot of the scriptures I'm going to share, I'm going to paraphrase. Just for time's sake, we can't read all the scriptures. So I'm just going to tell you the story. But I'm going to mention the scripture that you can go and look yourself. But it's just going to be easier for us to move a bit quicker. So we all know, most of us know at least, that Jesus himself was baptized as well. And he was baptized by John the Baptizer, or John the Immerser, should we actually say, call him. And John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. So he wasn't baptized with John's baptism. He was just baptized by John, because Jesus didn't need to repent of anything. But it was a powerful and a significant moment in history. It was the place where after that, the Holy Spirit, we know, descended upon Jesus like a dove. And the Father spoke and he said, "This is my Son." And you know, the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And there basically his ministry started. So it was a pivotal moment. And then Jesus goes on, and some of his last words, something that we mentioned, we will know, is the Great Commission. And one of the main things that I remember about the Great Commission is to make disciples. But if we just read a bit slower, we will see that, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." It's Matthew 28:19. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So here we see how we go ahead to baptize people is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But what it also says here is that baptism is the outward evidence or the seal of discipleship, becoming a disciple as well, committing to the process of discipleship. The moment I have done that, I go and baptize myself. That is the evidence that I have committed to this process. Jesus also says in Mark 16, he says, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." So in essence, what Jesus is saying here is that if you say that you believe, the thing that should follow that believing, forming the seal or the evidence of you believing, is that you should be baptized. And we will see this pattern clearly, very clearly demonstrated in Acts. So, to recap that, is that the thing that immediately follows commitment to discipleship and faith in Jesus is baptism. That is the outward evidence for an inward decision made. All right, so ready for the examples in Acts. So this morning, it can be systematic because it's a teaching. Just going to teach you throughout the scriptures what the word says of baptism, all right? So we're going to Acts 2. And I'm going to start paraphrasing now. It's the place where just after Pentecost, wanneer die Heilige Gees gekom het, Peter stood up boldly and he basically, for the same crowd, he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching Jesus to them. And it was a powerful sermon because it said that the people, they were cut to the heart when Peter spoke. And they said, "What shall we do?" And Peter answered them and said, "Repent, be baptized for the remission or the removal of sin, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And about 3,000, somebody was counting, 3,000 people got saved in that sermon. We see in Acts 8, so there's no way for me to give all the examples in Acts. Maybe you should go and read Acts after this and go and have a look at all the examples. I'm just going to give you a few pointers to show the point, to prove the point. So Philip was preaching in Acts 8 to the Samaritans. As the Samaritans believed Philip, both men and women were baptized immediately. Acts 8 is maybe a more well-known one, is where the Lord sends Philip to the eunuch on his chariot, and he was busy reading Isaiah, and Philip asks him, "Verstaan jy wat jy lees hierso? Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "Well, to be honest, not quite. I don't understand what I'm reading." And it says Philip preached the gospel, or he preached Jesus, I think, or Christ, to him. That's what it said. They were moving along, and then the eunuch said, not Philip, said, "Here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And immediately, there was such an urgency from the eunuch's side. He saw water, so clearly there should be enough water. And they got off, they went down, it says, into the water, he got baptized. But the amazing thing is, he didn't say Philip preached about baptism. He preached Jesus to him. In that preaching Jesus, the central or the core of the gospel is Christ died for us, he was buried for us, and he was raised for us. In that, he preached it, and he preached baptism as well, because that is what this guy knew that he needed. If he put his faith in Jesus, that was the immediate reaction, or that was the evidence that needed to be shown of the thing that he chose inside of his heart and declared with his mouth as well. We know the story about Saul. Saul that became Paul. And he's still following. He's still with me. So we know that Paul was struck blind. And the Lord sent Ananias to go and pray for him. And Ananias prayed for him. And there fell something off his eyes like scales. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was baptized as well. Now when Paul gives his account in Acts 22, it's interesting because Ananias said, Ananias came and he prayed for him. But what Ananias said for him was that. He said, "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized." So in essence, he said to him, "Now you have faith in Jesus. You proclaim now faith in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. The next logical thing for you is, what are you waiting for? Why aren't you being baptized? Go get yourself baptized." And that was but that is how they went about in Acts. If you believe, if you put your faith in Jesus, if you commit to the process of discipleship, next step, be baptized, immersed in water. The final one I want to share with you is the one of Peter, and where he received a vision, and the Lord led him to the household of Cornelius. And As Peter, it says that as Peter was ministering to them, he preached to them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they started to speak in tongues. And the crowd that came with Peter, the Jews, the Christians basically, it says that they were amazed that the Gentiles, want was vreemd op daai stadium, that the Gentiles received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now, I think, thinking about it, Peter, what he said next was, okay, well, as hulle nou gelowig is ook, as hulle die Heilige Gees ontvang, wat verhoed hulle dan om gedoop te word? Dan moet hulle mos gedoop word. And it says, Peter didn't suggest to them, he said, Peter commanded them, be baptized. And they, the whole household that heard the word, that believed, they were baptized. Okay, so here's also a little side note, is that they received the Holy Spirit first. And then they were baptized afterwards in water. So neither is a replacement for the other. Both are equally needed. But the order isn't always, it doesn't have to be a specific way. I think normally it's great if they can go together. We will quickly touch on that as well. But here they received the Holy Spirit first. But Peter said, no, they must be baptized as well. And he commanded them to be baptized. So that's just a few of a lot. And the bottom line is that every person in the book of Acts that heard the gospel and believed knew immediately that it was their responsibility to be baptized. There is not a single person in the book of Acts that put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation that did not get baptized immediately. The underlying thing here is immediately. There's not one case at least longer than 48 hours, mostly 24 hours or immediately after believing they were baptized. Daar was 'n dringendheid rondom dit. Dit moenie langer uitgestel word nie. Dit moet onmiddellik gedoen word. Ek het so 'n bietjie tyd, so ek gaan een van die ander so vinnig gebruik. Jy onthou toe Petrus is dit Petrus in die tronk was? Wie was nog saam met hom? Jan? Paul? Anyways. En die punt is, onthou toe die aardbewing gekom het en die tronk het oopgegaan. En die jailer, die ou wat opgepas het, hy was te bang, hy was gereed om homself op sy eie swaard te val, om homself dood te maak, want die oomblik as daai ouens ontsnap het, hy was verantwoordelik vir hulle, dan moes hy betaal met sy lewe. Anyways, hulle sê vir hom, moenie jouself dood maak nie, wow. En hulle vertel die evangelie vir hom. And it said that, so he received the word of God, and it was late at night. And even late at night, he said afterwards, he and his household, as they believed, they were baptized. They didn't even wait for the next day. They didn't even wait for the morning. They were baptized late at night. And you know, I think many of you have heard testimonies about people in Alaska and about wherever in the world that geez, makes holes in the ice and it seems so extreme, but I think there's something they understand of the urgency and of the power of being baptized as well. Okay, that was a New Testament pattern. There is no other way. That was clearly demonstrated. There's a lot of other scriptures. I just for time's sake, I can't touch on all of them. But out of this, there's a few requirements. We see a few requirements before we can be baptized in water. Those requirements, at least a few that I want to mention that I see, is repentance first. When Peter said, repent and then be baptized. So we need to repent first. Now, repentance is to make a U-turn from the way you are thinking as well, but in your conduct, in your doing, whatever you were busy with, to turn around 180 degrees and walk to the different direction. But it's not for me only a repentance, a turning away from sin and selfishness and rebellion and those things. It is also a turning towards God. It's a turning towards God. So repentance must be there. Secondly, is you have to believe, obviously. If you believe, this is an act of demonstrating the evidence of you believing is baptism. So if you don't believe, then it won't make any sense. It won't have any power. And then Matthew 28, which we spoke about, it's a commitment to discipleship. It's the evidence that you have committed yourself to discipleship, became a disciple of Jesus, to walk in His ways. And I think from these three things mentioned, it's quite clear that infants can't repent, can't believe, and they cannot really turn from anything at that stage. They're so small, and they cannot become a disciple. So like I've mentioned, what we see, our desire is to bring our kids, our children, our babies to the Lord and to present Him to the Lord. And toetewys is wat ons vanoggend gesê het. And that's exactly the pattern, like I told you, that we see in Scripture, is that they didn't baptize Jesus. And I know that's the outcry of our hearts as parents. We want to say, Lord, we want to place this little child in Your hands. And almost, how can we do that? And the biblical way is how we did it this morning. We bring them, they brought Jesus to the household of the Lord, and they presented Him to God. And like I've said, Jesus, the mothers of Israel, they brought the children to Him. And what He did, He took them on His lap and He blessed them. And I think that's the powerful thing this morning. We brought them here, the house of God, and we blessed them. And say, Lord, this is a perfect gift, a good gift given from You. We give it back to You, God, in Your hands, this little life. And we blessed him to walk in Your ways. And I think it's also a responsibility for us as a house to continue to pray for those children, to see that they walk in the ways and the plans of the Lord. Okay, we're doing very good. You guys still with me? I want to touch on the spiritual significance of baptism. And the scripture we're going to have a look at is Romans 6. It's 3 to 11. So if you want to open up in your translation, you are very well. We're welcome. I will put it on the screen as well. I'm going to read it for us. But the spiritual significance of baptism can be, I think, summed up in this one word, which is identification. Okay, so we'll explain that quickly, but it's basically, it boils down to us identifying ourselves with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Sure, what an amazing scripture. So water baptism sets forth our acceptance of these three facts, that Jesus died for us, that He was buried for us, and that He was raised for us. And He identified with a lost and a sinful world when He died for us. He took our place and he died our death for us. But he was resurrected as well. And what I am saying when I'm baptized, and I want just to make a side note again, remember this is through faith. Is nie net 'n aksie nie, is nie net iets wat ons doen nie. Die ding wat dit moet, die onderliggende faktor hier is geloof, van waarvan ons nou praat, en geloof in Jesus, geloof in wat hy gedoen het, geloof dat hy werklik dood is en werklik opgestaan het, en werklik sit in die regterhand van die Vader. So, I'm identifying myself with these vital facts. The fact is that I am dead to sin. Hallelujah. Soos Jan gesê het, my old life, my old nature has died with Christ. It says, reckon yourself dead to sin. So once you are dead, it doesn't have a hold on you any longer. We need to reckon ourselves dead. And I think somebody said, and I agree with that, it only works on the basis of continuous reckoning. We need to reckon ourselves dead to sin. It doesn't have a hold on me. It doesn't have dominion over me any longer. We identify ourselves with the burial of Jesus. So as Jesus was going into the tomb, or he was in the tomb, we are also in a tomb, symbolically. It's a water tomb, but we are also buried. And then, as Jesus was resurrected, we are also resurrected. To do what? To walk in newness of life. That is a point I want to stop just for a moment. And as I was meditating and searching the scriptures and really asking God to open it up for me, this is a point I think we need to understand, which is very important, is that you and me, when we go through baptism, we rely on the same power that raised Jesus from the dead to raise us up to walk in newness of life. It's the same power. What power is that? It's the Holy Spirit. We rely. Jesus didn't bring himself forth from the tomb. He didn't do that. He couldn't do that. He was waiting for the Father, trusting the Father, believing the Father that he's going to send the power. The third day, he sent the power. He will send the power. If we believe him, he will send the power to raise us up, to walk and enable us to walk in a newness of life. And I think this thing, it stirs me. Understanding this, how powerful it is. Like I said, the overarching thing, it stays obedience, but God explained it to us. He opened it up for us to understand. Immediately, they said, the guys in Acts, we want to die to self. We want to show what we believe, but we want to die to the old nature. We want to, these central truths of the gospel, we want to be identified with Christ in them. There was no other way. There shouldn't be any other way as well. So I'm going to end off with the last one I want to touch on. It's an interesting one. It's in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 2. And Paul is speaking here, and he's referring to the Israelites in Egypt when they were freed and went through the deliverance in Egypt. And it reads, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." It says that the Israelites went through a baptism to Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 6 says, "These things are our examples." So let's just quickly remind ourselves of the deliverance of Israel. You remember that they put the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorpost. They put their faith in the blood, and the angel of death passed them. And that's a type of Christ. which is our Passover lamb, slain for us as well. And what great is that that formed an important part of their deliverance. But if you remember correctly, even when they left Egypt, the Egyptians pursued them and they caught up with them at the Red Sea. So although it was an important part of their deliverance, the Egyptians, they were still following them. But the final protection came when the Lord miraculously opened up one of the greatest miracles. He opened up the sea and all of the Israelites moved through the Red Sea. But Paul says what was happening here was they were being baptized as they were moving through the Red Sea. And once they were through, the enemies tried to follow. The enemies of Egypt, their enemies, they tried to follow them into the water. They could not follow them. The water closed and every single enemy was killed in the water. So what does the baptism in the Red Sea typify? It's the baptism in water. And this is beautiful. It says, and it is powerful, that the thing that finally separated God's people from Egypt and the enemy that was Egypt was not the blood of the lamb. It was the baptism in the Red Sea. There, everything of Egypt, every evil thing that tried to follow them was stopped at that point. Now, for us in water baptism, although it is the symbolic one, it is real. Spiritually, it's real and it is powerful. And this is the place where there's a final separation. If it's done correctly, water baptism, if there's an understanding of repentance, an understanding of the identification, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, if there's an understanding of this, and if there's faith, this is a powerful moment happening here this morning. There's a final separation between the kingdom of darkness and its influence on the life of the believer. When we go through the water, there's an end to the ways of the kingdom of darkness, the habits, the houvast, the grepe, wat die vijand uitoefen. There's a breaking off. I can give you a lot of examples of people that I know that supernaturally experienced deliverance when they went through baptism. It's a powerful separation between the things of the kingdom of darkness, ending it there because we are dead, raising us up into a new life to walk in newness of life. All right, so I want to call Peter to the front, but I want to recap quickly. So the word baptizo means to immerse, to onderdompel. Ons sien dit ook in Handelinge, waar Philip, my eunuch, where he preached the gospel to him, they stopped, they went down into the water. Jesus went into the water. It's quite clear. It's an immersion into the water. It is an act of obedience. It is an outward evidence of believing and becoming a disciple. It's a clear New Testament pattern. Immediately, urgency, always involved in baptism, and obviously the identification, as I mentioned, and an act of separation. But now, why we ask the rest of you, if possible, to stay here, to join us, and to witness what is happening, is because every time, even if we were baptized already, if we look and we see and we observe, we are reminded of what Christ did for us. He died for us. He was in the tomb, was buried for us, and he raised again. It reminds us, if we reckon ourselves dead to sin, we can walk in a newness of life through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you guys, Even if you didn't plan this morning to be baptized. Oh, 9 out of 10, I think, is not planned. Mine wasn't planned as well. So we made provision. Ons het 'n paar extra hemde en handdoeke. So moenie dat dit jou stop nie. Weet, as die Heilige Gees met jou begin praat, dan kry jy mos so warmerige draai hierso en jy kan nie dit afskit nie. So ek wil jou bemoedig dat today might be your day if you respond on the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.